Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Tech Can't Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. We're back in the studio today. We've got our first ever back-to-back episodes we're recording, and our first guest today is Helena Nordlund, the co-CEO and co-founder of Timo, a fantastic edtech app that's focused on supporting A fantastic ed tech app that's focused on supporting neurodivergent folks in the classroom and wherever they are learning and living. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for making the trip.
Of course.
This is your second podcast of the day. You're just smashing them out back to back.
Yeah, I am. And also my second one ever.
Ever.
But starting to sort of
things by halves.
Yeah, podcast world. That's a seasoned pro, so yeah. Not that.
What was the other podcast you were on earlier?
It was called ADHD Chatter.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So very focused on ADHD, obviously, and yeah, Timo is a support tool for ADHD, so it made a lot of sense to talk about that as well.
Nice. We'll chuck a little link to them in the description for the episode as well.
Well, yeah, first things first, really great to have you on the pod. And as a former educator myself who worked with students across all different learning variations, it's just a really exciting topic for me to dive back into. And I wish I had a tool like Timo in the classroom to engage students. And I love that you're expanding it to coaches and just learners themselves. So that's really exciting to see. Curious to hear how working with neurodivergent teens led to the creation of Timo. And just give us a little bit of the origin story, if you can, please.
It was actually a little bit of a coincidence that I met Melissa, my co-founder. We met at the university, IT University in Copenhagen, decided to write our master thesis together. And at that time in Copenhagen or in Denmark, there was a lot of focus on children with special needs being included in the normal schools, and a lot of talk in the media about especially children with ADHD would sort of fall in between because they were too good to the special needs school, but also still would probably need some extra support in terms of thriving in a normal school with a lot of children and few teachers. And we thought it could be really interesting to understand more about ADHD in general, or understand if we could use tech to somehow support the children now that they were going to lose some of the support that they had. And not that we can sort of give the same support as a person can give, but we still thought that we could might use tech in a smart way to support these children. And then we had a very anthropological approach in terms of understanding. We followed 5 families who all had a child with ADHD and tried to understand their sort of lives and what was challenging, what worked. And then we had this design process that ended up being sort of the concept of Timo. Back then, very focused on giving this very visual support on a smartwatch and very focused on children, and has today evolved into being more focused on young and adults actually using the product to thrive in general, both in education but also on work and in everyday life. It's also not so focused only on smartwatch anymore, but it's also good for all sort of phone and tablets and everything. So we really wanted to create this sort of accessible, beautiful product that could support the neurodivergent brain, and that is what we're still working to do.
Yeah, neurodivergency is a broad category. So like super curious to hear. Yeah. I grew up with a dyslexic dad, you know, and I remember like being a teacher and connecting the frustration I was seeing among my dyslexic students with the frustration I remember my dad displaying when he couldn't, was struggling with something or whatever. And that was like a big epiphany for me. So just curious to understand better like how you've taken that broad category and created a product that, caters to different folks along the spectrum of neurodivergence.
Yeah, really good question, because it is a broad spectrum and covers a lot of different conditions. We really try to take this very human-centric approach to design and really understand and user test a lot. Every time we create new features or do something with the product, we always involve end users, many of them having maybe an ADHD diagnosis, but is also dyslexic. That's often they often go hand in hand, those two diagnoses. And the thing about the Timo app is that it's very visual and very focused on this visual daily planning. So it supports some other areas in the brain and supports executive functioning skills, which is sort of the skills that we all use daily to carry out tasks and prioritize and plan and organize. And a common thing for many of those neurodivergent brains is that they are challenged on their executive functioning skills, which is why also Timo can appear to a broader user base, you can call it, because it do support the planning and the organization and the task initiation part of your brain. So you don't need to worry about that yourself. That is what often happens when you are neurodivergent, and if you are challenged with your executive functions, is that you use a lot of energy to think about, for how long should I be doing this? When do I need to prepare to transition into something else? And if you have Timo to help you with that, you don't need to use your own mental energy on that, and you can actually use your brain for so many other things than what you're doing, your work, being social, and so on.
I'm curious because I feel like it's really, really profound what you've said. And I think I've noticed that as well about the reception to neurodivergent children, students that has changed over the years. So I'm curious, mm-hmm. in Copenhagen, do you feel that has over the years become more widely known, widely accessible? Because I feel like here in the UK, in schools, it's a huge thing now. There's a lot of focus on it. But mm-hmm. I think our schools are not supporting their students in the right way. Do you feel that in Copenhagen, like, that's changing, or that's the same, the attitudes have changed perhaps?
I think it is changing, but I think there's still a long way. I'm not sure in terms of primary schools, but I think in UK and in the US, I experienced that you're more ahead in terms of talking about neurodivergence and being aware of what it is and how to sort of go about it than we are in Denmark. It's still very new in Denmark. And I would say a lot of folks still don't recognize the word neurodivergent and know what it is. And I think also a lot of workplaces are not aware that they probably have 20% of their employees that are neurodivergent, and in school, 20% of the children that are neurodivergent. So I think there's a long way to go. And I think some schools are doing something and really trying to shake things up and really try to teach in different ways that is more supportive for neurodivergent children and for all children, because I think that is also what we're seeing in the schools that are trying to do something. If they sort of flip it around and design the school and the day for the neurodivergent brain, it actually affects all children in a positive way. Yeah. So why don't do that? But I think we're still learning and sort of evolving, and there's still a way to go.
Yes, a process, definitely.
Yeah.
And what's that like, the work from your side, getting schools on board? What's kind of been the reception? And have you been mainly focused on schools in Denmark or the rest of the EU and US? Like, what's that journey been like, getting schools on board and interested in the product?
Yeah, we actually haven't done that because it was too difficult, or I don't know, but at least too slow, because I think actually in the early days when we started the product and it was still very focused on children, we also moved actually away from the children focus as the primary focus, at least. But they loved the idea, but it sort of was a little bit difficult because it's also a tool that supports you throughout your entire day. So where is sort of the ownership? Was it the teacher and the school, or was it the parents, and who sort of owned it? Was it only a tool they could have while in school, or could it take it home? So there were still so many decisions and sort of unknowns in terms of actually really getting it out to the schools. So we actually did sort of a pivot and started to just promoting the product in the App Store more broadly and more focused on young and adults, so they could just go and find the product in the App Store, try it out, feel sort of the value of it quite fast, and start to keep using it. So 95% of our users today are adults, I would say. And then we maybe have 5% that is still the parent-child or teacher-child user type, you can call it.
Mm. That's an interesting, like, bottom-up strategy.
Yeah.
And you've had over a million downloads.
Yes.
Right? Plus,
yes.
So it's clearly working. So
yeah.
Yeah. Look, going forward, do you think you'll continue the same strategy, or are you looking at different sort of avenues to grow the app?
I think same strategy in terms of getting it out to as many as possible. We really think that is sort of the way to go. Mm-hmm. Have as many as possible try the product, feel the value, spread the word, and then the schools can follow and the workplaces can follow. We also have talked to a lot of bigger corporates in Denmark in terms of having Timo as a tool you can offer to your employees to support your daily workday and help managing your time. But still, it's very early, and I think it's there's a little way to go in terms of having neurodivergence as part of your sort of D&I strategy in the bigger companies. I see we are moving towards that, but it's we're not quite ready yet. Was my impression. So still, like, direct B2C focus for now, and that's where we can really see that users find us and really give us great feedback on the product as well.
Is it just across the world? Is there any sort of concentration of where Timo users are mainly coming from?
It's available across the world.
Yeah.
So we have users, like, all over, I would say, but it's mainly our biggest user base is US, then followed by UK and other English-speaking countries. And I think that's also because we translated the app to English to begin with and promoted it mostly within the English-speaking countries. So that's also where we have seen the biggest uptake. And now we're actually doing something in terms of localizing to, I think, 21 other countries, but starting to see big uptake in Brazil and Mexico and Latin America. And that's quite interesting, actually, to see something is happening there. And maybe they're also moving more towards awareness around neurodivergence. So quite interesting to see what's happening there.
I think it's really cool that it's on the App Store, and it kind of lets those who are neurodivergent access it at their own needs and their own time. And I think that's good. But I also am quite curious, and I want you to explain a little bit for our listeners how the app can really satisfy the need of the neurodivergent person. Like, you know, in terms of its look, its feel, everything about Timo, like what makes it so different and unique and cater to the neurodivergent individual?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's also like a challenging part of sort of our design process because brains and people are still different. But I think it's the part is that it's so high, it's so visual, and it breaks down your day in terms of showing you what you need to do when, and you can customize it very well to fit your day, because of course it's different what you have to do and what I have to do. You can customize it with colors and icons so it can represent what you're doing. If you need sort of an icon to let you know what you should be doing instead of text, you can do that. And we have recently also launched in sort of AI feature where you can break down bigger tasks with AI. A common thing also, if you are challenged on your executive functions, can be that it can be super overwhelming to start a task. It can be difficult also to break it down into smaller tasks to sort of understand how to start this and where to start. And sometimes you just need someone to tell you, like, do this first. And you can sort of also actually use the product to break down that task for you, and then you can get going. But I would also say in terms of sensory processing is also a big thing, because how do you perceive the world and how do we perceive the world? And that's also very different within the neurodivergent spectrum, that some can be really high
functioning.
But also high sensitive in terms of changes and bright light. And some need it. Some people with ADHD really need sort of that changes and dopamine and a lot of things happening. So we have tried to do it in a very sort of subtle way where you can customize things. You can change your theme and your app icon if you feel like you want to do changes all the time. And we have also created a lot of small, what do you call that, sort of when things move around, sort of animations in the app, but done it in a really sort of subtle way. But so it still gives hopefully a little element of surprise when you tick something off, because you're done, you get a little sort of
graffiti
celebration. So there's something that should be really appealing also, but still designed in a very, hopefully, I think at least, calm and not overwhelming way.
Mm-hmm. Nice. One of my big themes for this year is discipline and like habit formation. It strikes me that a lot of Timo is about that, like kind of helping people build disciplines and you know, create habits and patterns that kind of help them navigate the world. So just curious if you have any success stories from the over a million, you know, people who have downloaded the app about, you know, they've done an amazing job developing a habit or a discipline that's really helped them change their life.
Yeah, good question. I think we're lucky that we have such great feedback from some of our users actually saying that it's life-changing, some of them. And I think it's because it can maybe be hard for people to understand if you don't struggle with sort of understanding time and you don't have issues with that, to understand how big an impact it can actually have, also in a negative way, if you use too much energy on it. But I have a user reporting back that they could travel for the first time ever because they didn't they put everything into Timo where they were supposed to go, put an icon, so they sort of like was not surprised about how it would look when they got there, and just wanted to share that story to tell that now they had actually traveled for the first time in their life.
Where did they, like, was it the first international travel?
And they wanted to share sort of the tip. They went to Google and then they took pictures of every place they needed to go so they could sort of like be prepared for how it would look, because they were not good with sort of the unexpected and surprises. And then we have another user also writing that she always wanted to use makeup but never sort of had always being too afraid to use too much time on it and be late, and just writing that now I can use makeup for the first time in my life and I always wanted to do this, and thanks to Timo I can actually do that now. And it can sound simple, but it's about feeling like everybody else and about having that sort of self-esteem that you can do what you want to do without ending up being late or being stressed or sort of burnout. And I think also back to the habit building, that's also a big part of it and a big part of being more mindful about how you structure and plan your day and how you spend your time. And realistic, I would say, I think a lot of us, myself included, has a tendency to overfill the calendar. Don't plan any breaks, don't plan time for transitions, sort of like, let's just do this. And then at the end of the day, we end up feeling like we didn't manage half of what we set up to do. And that feels quite stressful. So I think also that's what we try to build into the product, to be more aware about how to actually create a good schedule and a good day that works well for you and your mental sort of energy. And another thing sort of in relation to this is also, I think there's a big theme with the intersection of planning and mental health, especially if you're neurodivergent, because if you constantly feel behind and stressed about it, it really affects your mental health. And we are soon launching sort of an extra layer to the product that's more about community and learn. So about understanding more about how to build habit and how to create a good day, for example, or get a coach to help you sort of understand more about yourself and be able to sort of apply that. And then you can use Teemo as sort of the planning tool to anchor that into your daily life going forward. So we have a beta launch of that very soon.
It's exciting.
That's very cool.
Have you seen any positive results in terms of, like, you know, we were speaking about this before in prep for this pod, like, you know, it seems like there's a real mental health crisis in, you know, amongst us, anyone under the age of really 21. But obviously that's especially harder when you are neurodivergent and you're in a system that isn't built for you. Mm. You know, are you seeing any positive signs from what Teemo can offer that it does actually make life easier for those kids, and, you know, the rough situation where they're in a education system built for one size fits all, and, you know, it just doesn't work for them?
Yeah, we're starting up some more like research studies, but for now it's been a lot of great feedback about these sort of success stories and about many of our users being able to sort of thrive in everyday life. I think it's not only about being productive, it's so much more than that. It's about actually thriving and feeling that you're succeeding and feeling that you can do what everybody else also can do. You're not sort of left behind because the society is not made for your brain. That's also sort of our vision in terms of what we want to do, like more than just creating this app. We want to like level the playing field for neurodivergent people, and also by talking more about neurodiversity and create some awareness around that and how it can look, because there's still this, I think for many, idea that it's just that boy in school that could never sit still, and that is what ADHD look like, but it can be so many other things. And we see so many people getting a late diagnose, my co-founder included. Melissa got an ADHD diagnose 2 years back, and a dyslexic diagnose as well, because we work with Teemo, and because she got more knowledge and understanding about what it actually was, suddenly realized that she was actually neurodivergent herself. And I think that happens to so many people right now, and that it's really good, because then it gives all the younger children some what can you call it, role models, or some other sort of types of people with ADHD than just the more negative stories around it, I would say.
I think it's a funny moment we live in, because it's like, on the one hand, it's, you know, good that we're starting to identify and diagnose these things in sort of a healthier way, and at the same time, like, there's a stigma, unfortunately, that goes along with it. And you know, I'm hopeful we can get to a day where we just sort of recognize that there's variation, you know, in everyone, and that we're all on this like larger spectrum, and that, you know, people have different needs and stuff like that. And it feels like we're kind of, hopefully with tools like Teemo, getting to that point where, like, as you said earlier, I think you mentioned kind of universal design for learning, like, once you fix these things for the neurodivergent person, it's actually better for everyone. And you see that in the classroom and such. Wanted to ask you a sort of follow-up question about your, the sort of the team behind your team. So like, when you build apps like Teemo, you kind of have to get it right, like the science and the health behind it. One of the things we do is we work with health tech startups and ed tech startups. So one of our clients, we work with their literacy team and their numeracy team, and we interview their subject matter experts and help them get it right in the content that they put out. Another client that we've worked with, or they're a Finnish startup, we work with their science team and make sure that the content that gets put out is correct and is you know, factually, scientifically accurate. So want to learn how the team behind your team, do you have sort of a science team, a sort of team that really understands neurodivergence on a deep level, that kind of informs what goes into your app, and sort of what does that look like behind the scenes?
Yeah, good question. I think we don't have that science team now. We have been thinking a lot about it, but we have also, I would say, unconscious, not gone into sort of the health tech, but more sort of in between, sort of, because otherwise you need a lot of sort of CE approval marks that makes everything very expensive and difficult. And we still have sort of the idea that if we can just get this product out to as many people as possible, we can actually make a big difference. But what we do have, and what we are very focused on, is of course to read research about it and understand it that way. And then we have a lot of people that are neurodivergent on the team. Melissa, as mentioned, my co-founder is sort of, or she is CPO, so she is the visionary and the creative person behind the product, but also have the lived experience and uses the product herself. And we have a few other people on the team that are also neurodivergent and give different input because, of course, everybody's not Melissa. And then we have a lot of user involvement. So mm-hmm. we really user test a lot. We really try and understand like how users read the app, how they sort of interact with it, and have a combination of sort of research that we read up on ourselves and then user involvement, I would say, from users to make the design. Yeah.
And you mentioned there about not falling into that kind of stereotype of like a health tech or not being in the box. Do you feel like there are enough investors or enough funds available for apps like Teemo at the moment? Do you feel that, you know, it's the subject of the VCs at the moment? Because it should be, really. You're doing really great work and it helps neurodivergent individuals all around the world. Do you feel that you are getting enough attention or that the industry itself is, you know, as a whole?
I think it's getting more, but I think it's still very boxed. When we raised our last round, we met many investors or VCs that sort of like we were a little bit in between because we were not a sort of proper health tech app and we didn't sort of sell through either doctors or sort of B2B, which was what they knew the best, and they were looking for some different metrics, and we sort of didn't meet that because we are B2C product. And there is something there, I think, where we are a little bit weirdly in between health and consumer. But I also think in terms of neurodivergence, we really had to educate a lot of the investors we talked to because they didn't think that was sort of a big enough market to create a product within the space. And that's changing now, I feel. When we talk to investors today, they know more about neurodivergency and understand that that's actually a huge part of the population. But we really had to sort of educate Benny on that.
Yeah, I can imagine, actually.
We've had a few cool people doing stuff in the space for disability and neurodivergence on the pod, and they're always like, it's like one of the biggest minorities in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like 30-40% of the population. So actually, the market for a VC who knows their stuff is really exciting.
Yeah.
Even if they don't care about the ethics, which, yeah, they rarely do.
So. Yeah. Some luckily do, but I agree. Yeah.
Cover your ears if you're listening. VC. We want to fund Teemo.
But no, you're right. And I think luckily it is changing, but I think that it's good that our sort of so much is happening from a lot of different sides. And that's also what we really wanted to be a part of at Teemo, to sort of create this awareness, not just to be able to raise money, but to just in general to be able to change something and for so many people.
And did you find a fundraising partner that kind of was both, like, they, you know, they saw the commercial potential of it, but they also really cared about the ethical side?
Yes, absolutely. We found some great matches, I would say, in terms of understanding sort of the impact and really also wanting to be part of that impact we can do, and also still understood that there's actually also it's interesting what we're doing, and it's an interesting space, and there's a need for something. It's a very, very underserved space in terms of also funding and research and products. So there's definitely room for a lot.
Any partners you want to shout out on the pod? Give them some limelight. That's okay if not.
No worries. No, but I think then the other thing is also we're two women founders, and that's also a big thing, right? Not that I have necessarily felt it on my own, but I just the stats talks on their own that there's it's just more difficult to get funding if you're a woman.
What's that horrible stat? It's like there are more men named. You're more likely to get funding if you're a man named John than you are a woman. Like there are more Johns who get VC funded. It's just it was something horrible like that.
I think it's like that. That's one specific to I think like Fortune 500.
Oh yeah, so
there's like more named John than women.
Yeah.
But like also, you could apply that over to the funding community.
Exactly.
As well.
So that's also a place where we've tried to sort of like make a change and sort of be, I don't want to say role model, but sort of show that it can be done and sort of like we need to also move something in that area.
To the earlier point about like gaps in the market, I mean, I think that's why we're seeing some of the most powerful products come from women and, you know, folks of color and sort of underrepresented, under-resourced founders, you know, because they really get and understand and have lived the challenges that they're trying to meet, which is which is really powerful. We try to highlight those folks on this pod, and that's who we like to work with as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean the proof's pretty much in the results. Like, I mean, you know, the funding round you guys raised, like to get to 1 million users is incredible. Like you know, like for the numbers you raise, like you 100,000 monthly active users would normally be a good return on investment. So you've clearly shown there's just an incredible demand for it, and you know, it's such a good fit. So it's, hats off to you. It's incredible.
Thank you.
It's definitely exciting. And I think even you mentioned about doing the segment about more emotional mental health issues related to neurodivergency. I think it's really, really beneficial. Is there anything coming up for Timo as well that you want to shout about? Anything exciting that you've got coming up that you'd like to tell the listeners about, really?
Yeah, that would be that. I would say we will launch this beta program that we called sort of Community Learn, and we will launch it. You can sign up already now for early bird sign up, and then we will launch it within the next few sort of weeks, I would say. So if it's not launched when you listen, then sign up for the early bird, and otherwise it will be there, sort of the first version, and it will be where you can. We also have included some body doubling in the product. I don't know if you know. Yeah, body doubling. Yeah. It's sort of a also productivity method where you meet in a virtual room and then you sit together and work. So you don't sort of, you just share what you, if you want to, you can sort of share in a chat what you're there for and what you hope to get done. And then you work for 25 minutes together. So you have that sort of accountability part to it. Then you take a 5 minute break and then you work 25 minutes again, and you can share what you get done after. And we have a facilitator to support that. And that has also proven to work really well for people with ADHD, for example, and sort of productivity and accountability. So you sit there and you focus on what you need to do for that period of time.
Curious too about your pivot to coaches as well. Like, I see you're starting to showcase a coach of the month.
Yeah.
And then you also have Timo for coaches.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, I know that's one thing in our co-founder relationship that we've gotten a lot out of is having executive coach is really kind of like a couples therapist. But like we have individual coaches. We provide the team with coaches if they elect to have one through a program called More Happy. So just curious about what your sense of the role of coaches is in the Timo journey and just working with the neurodivergent community.
Yeah, but I think we are starting to work more with coaches, both in terms of, I would say, mostly to sort of create a relationship with them and sort of be able to then highlight some of them and have them use Timo with their clients, because I think it goes so well hand in hand in terms of you learn something from your coach and they help you with some strategies. And often it's more about, yes, maybe if you're recently diagnosed, you're told that you should create a visual plan, you should sort of schedule more in your day, but how to do that, you sort of still need some tools and some tips and tricks in terms of how to go about planning and how to go about changing some habits, because it's not just about starting to plan your day. It is about changing a habit and getting used to that and understanding about yourself and your energy levels and how to actually plan or schedule a perfect day for you so you become the most successful and productive. And I think that coaches can really help with that. And that's also something we will make in our sort of the Learn Communities module. We're also offering coaching already. You can buy coaching, so group coaching from Timo. And then, of course, we want to be able to have this network of coaches that we can then apply into the app, and we just see a great synergy between that. And then Timo, the planning part, is the perfect product to sort of anchor all of those trips and things you learned from the coach into your daily life and actually start doing it also.
That's
instead
really
of
cool.
Just learning it.
We'll be sure to connect you with Ashley over at More Happy.
I listened to that episode and I really would love a connection. It sounded really, really interesting as well.
We'll fire up the email. We'll make it happen. Perfect.
Okay, so before we head off, do you want to share your social media so everyone can find you online, find Timo online and connect with you on whichever social media platform?
Yes, be happy to. We are at Timo App, so it's T-I-I-M-O App.
Just a thank you for Helene from Timo for all the great work that you're doing to kind of, as the tagline goes, build an equitable world for all kinds of brains. I think that's an incredible mission and tagline for the work that you're doing. So thank you for that, first of all. And we're really excited to support you on your growth journey with Timo and put the word out there about the good work that you're doing. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
It's really a pleasure.
Pleasure to have you on the pod.